I'm bummed out about Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did a lot of good stuff. He did a lot of terrible stuff, but, you know, I actually think that encapsulates his approach to comedy, which is volume. And some of it's going to be great, and some of it is going to fall flat, and it doesn't matter. You just keep on powering through. And that was totally his approach, just rapid fire, as much stuff as you can, bounce it in any direction possible. And, you know, and he had some really great, just great performances in movies and his stand-up, and, you know, just it's sad. It's very sad.
I'm kind of fascinated by the trending movies on Twitter right now, because they include good movies like Mrs. Doubtfire and Dead Poets Society and World's Greatest Dad, which Bobcat Goldthwait directed.
Right.
But the other movies on this list are What Dreams May Come.
Well, that's about death.
Well, it's the afterlife. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Patch Adams.
No.
Nah.
The Fisher King, The Birdcage, Mrs. Doubtfire is in there.
And Jumanji, which... Oh.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
I got nothing against Jumanji.
Shine on... Did you see that there's some of the ISIS, what are they, militants, some of the radical Islamic militants in ISIS were having a Twitter conversation about how much they loved Jumanji when they were a kid? Weird.
This is a weird world.
That's weird.
Wow.
Also, Mork. First time Mork has trended on Twitter, I think. Under terrible circumstances. Oh, Captain, my Captain, too. It's sad. I mean, I mean, I guess we all saw him in Mork and Mindy sort of as the first thing, right? I mean,
yeah.
I remember when he was on Laugh-In, because I had always been... I was like that weird TV kid that wanted to be Brandon Tartikoff when I was six. So, I paid really close attention to the TV schedules. And I had always heard about Laugh-In, you know, this famous thing, Laugh-In. And they did a really, 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 really lousy sort of a reboot of it. Not that you can reboot a sketch comedy show. But a revival of it, I guess, in 77.
It was out of continuity with the original Laugh-In.
It didn't have that Dick Martin magic.
No.
Well, and they tried to put a Klingon on the bridge, which was just weird. And but yeah, I mean, it was just
awful. I don't know what Laugh-In is, but I like that.
Oh wow, I'm so old. Team old. But yeah, I mean, it was awful. But you could tell even there that, you know, when he could just sort of take off and go, here was someone who had some kind of spark. You know, I went back and looked at some of those clips now, and it's like, yeah, you can see it. Same thing in the Richard Pryor show, because he was on that for, you know, all six episodes or whatever.
I love, I mentioned this on a previous podcast, that Dead Again is a movie that is one of my all-time faves. Mm. And he has a fantastic... it's basically a cameo. I think he's in two scenes where he talks to Kenneth Branagh, and he's a disgraced psychologist who now works as a stock boy in a supermarket. And it's great. It is so random because he's so recognizable. It's like, why is Robin Williams suddenly in this movie? And he's not super zany Robin Williams. He's like Mr. Crisp and Precise, you know, don't mess this up, jerk, kind of Robin Williams. And it's great. It's a great, completely out of left field moment in that movie. Any other, maybe we'll post a little, I can post a little bonus track about this. Yeah. Anybody have any other Robin Williams thoughts while we're waiting for the rest of our crew?
I've said this before, including in the chat just now, but I just rewatched Popeye because although I recognize that it is a crazy, nonsensical movie with a lot of bad decisions, it's also one of my favorite movies of all time.
All right.
I think people just weren't ready for a Robert Altman movie that was Popeye's origin story.
People weren't ready for Popeye. The world was not ready for Popeye. I think that's fair. And you still love Popeye?
Oh, I love that movie. Hmm? I managed not to live tweet it because I felt people wanted to be alone with their mourning. So I wasn't barraging them with fascinating facts like how Wimpy is played by Paul Dooley, who's the father from Breaking Away. Mm-hmm. Or how many people in Popeye are in the Pickle Family Circus, which was one of the...
Oh, yeah. They came to my town.
They were great. Well, your town's San Francisco. That's where they're from.
No, my town was Sonora, California, up in the mountains, and they came to my little town.
They're essential in the movement of new circus, which got away from the Barnum and Bailey stuff and more Cirque du Soleil stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bill Irwin's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
He plays Ham Gravy in the movie. And I only know who Ham Gravy is because I have these great Popeye comic strip collections.
Hello.
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 We're doing Robin Williams thoughts while we wait for everybody else to come. I don't know if anybody else has any thoughts about. I didn't like the crazy ones. I didn't think it was that great a show. Although it wasn't his fault. I think Sarah Michelle Gellar was cast in an unwinnable role.
Yeah.
There was nothing she could have done.
Just look exasperated at Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a fun part. Like
when you take the stock David E. Kelly, vaguely shrewish, disapproving young woman and throw her against Robin Williams, you just want her to go away and let Robin go.
Yeah. It's,
the first thing that I thought of when I heard the news was a movie that really wasn't that good. But did any of you see What Dreams May Come?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, there are certain images in that.
Oh, yeah. It's a gorgeous movie.
Yeah.
I mean, and Toys is also a gorgeous movie. But
and What Dreams May Come is a lovely book by Richard Matheson, which I mean, it's Richard Matheson. It's a good story.
Yeah.
And the movie is very attractive. And,
yeah.
But it has enough of the book to it that it goes, you know, if you know it, you kind of go, all right, I see what they were trying.
You know, I think it's his, I think it's that,
hello, cat.
Late 80s. In the late 80s, he really got his career as a movie actor on track. That was that moment where was he going to be anything but a stand up and Mork. And then in fairly quick succession, you got Good Morning Vietnam, you got Dead Poets Society, Awakenings is in there. That's where my Dead Again cameo that I like so much is, and the Fisher yep. King is in there, which is a movie that I saw in the theater. Well, no, say nice. That like it was a stage production in the multiplex in San Diego is where I saw it. And then that's when he did the Aladdin voice. That's when he did Mrs. Doubtfire. So it was like, and that great Homicide episode. That's all in a 4 or 5 year span. And he went from being, hey, Mork on the street to being like Robin Williams, like the, not just comedian, but guy who is in, you know, who has talent and can, and has range and isn't just, you know, riffing stand-up comedian. Then he, you know.
Homicide Good Morning Vietnam.
Yeah. Yeah, right
that,
in there.
That Homicide episode is just devastating. My God.
Yeah.
I mean, even on the scale of Homicide episodes that are devastating, that's like maybe number one or two at the top.
Yeah, that's the one where his wife dies and he gets the gun. Is that right? His wife gets shot and he goes out and gets a gun?
Mm-hmm. And it's not quite in real time, but it's all over the period of like 24 hours, I think. It's a very compressed story with a clock, and it focuses on him more than it does on the detectives.
Hmm.
So, but yeah, he is just he's just a raw nerve for an hour, and oh,
yeah, yeah, It's a real shame. He's a local guy here. That's where they found him today is in Tiburon, which is a couple miles from my house, actually. And we would see him around. And there are a lot of the like Robin Williams and Dana Carvey, and I mean there are a few celebrities like that who are around that you just see, and you know they're just living their lives, and it's not a big deal. I know a lot of people on Twitter were talking about how they saw him at Macworld Expo. 1 year, and he definitely had nerdy things he was into. He was into cycling and which
I was just
athletically
reading,
nerdy, but nerdy.
I was just reading his Reddit Ask Me Anything from a few months ago, and he's talking about how much he loves Ghost in the Shell, and he had several Warhammer 40K armies, although he hadn't actually played the game yet, and how much he liked Ocarina of Time.
Wow.
Just shocked that it I don't know. It's. I think especially for people in my generation, we kind of grew up with him, you know.
Sure. Well, Ren, I mean, he was in Mork and Mindy when I was like 8, so I grew up with him
too.
Yeah.
We had two generations.
People in multiple, yeah.
But that and the genie, you know, that's and Hook.
The genie.
Don't forget Hook, which we can talk about at some later time when there are when all weapons have been confiscated, because I hate Hook.
I
despise that movie.
I have a personal reason to hate Hook.
Oh wow!
Do tell.
My personal reason is that I saw it and it's terrible.
My personal reason is that I was working in a movie theater when Hook was out. And you may not realize this, but that movie's 2.5 hours long.
It seems like 10, so.
And at the way our schedule was set up, it was the last movie running for 30 minutes. So all the other movies are over, and that movie's going for 30 minutes. So
the other theaters got cleaned really well. And
right. So every night we're thinking, I hope nobody buys a ticket for the 10 p.m. showing of Hook, because if they don't, we can be out of here 30 minutes earlier. New Year's Eve comes around.
Oh, no.
One guy buys a ticket for Hook.
Oh, my God.
Because he wants to ring in the new year sitting there, I'm assuming, staring at Julia Roberts. It was infuriating.
Let's hope it's just staring.
I'm still angry at him.
Wow.
Well, it might be flawed, but I will always love it.
I still remember watching the last season of Mork and Mindy when... Jonathan Winters joined the cast, and there was, you know, there was all the talk this was his idol, right? And
yeah.
and the two of them, I mean, if you ever saw them in interviews or profiles together, they would just go off. And Winters might be the only person I've ever seen who could keep up or surpass him when they were just getting weird and flying in whatever frequency they were on. And you know, it didn't make for great television because they actually, I don't know that the show was any good at that point.
It wasn't.
But again, you know, when the two of them would just go way off script, you'd see these sparks. You know, when Winters would suddenly be the great white hunter with the pith helmet and Mork would just jump right in and you can see them going, okay, we don't really like the script. So
no.
We're just going to toss it out and try something else.
I think that's good. It's really sad. And The Incomparable is not really a podcast to do instant analysis of somebody's career. So, you know, we'll talk about him and maybe talk about one of his movies at some point in the not too distant future. But it's very sad. And the only other thing I would say is everybody out there listening, you have friends. If you struggle with depression, talk to your friends, talk to a helpline. It's okay. It's not a personal weakness. It's an illness. And there are people out there to talk to you and to help you. So don't feel like you're alone. And that's it. It's very sad. Robin Williams, we'll miss you. Whenever anybody talented dies, I have that thought of like, I feel for their families. And I also have that moment of like, the world is poorer now because we don't get to have more time with that person. That's pretty sad. All right. I'm not going to do any Dead Poets Society quotes, though.
Thank God.
Because I will leave that to others. I'm sure there is some newscaster out there right now who is working on their best Dead Poets Society.
Oh, many.
They can have it.